次は東京、東京。お出口は左側です。
The next station is Tokyo. The doors on the left side will open.
Welcome to Dateline Tokyo. I'm Tom Dufle. Jeff Botting is a freelance journalist in Tokyo who writes for the Japan Times. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Tom.
You write for Tokyo Confidential, which really looks at the darker side of Japan, does it not?
It tends to. There's a whole mix of stories, but that's one of our themes.
And your articles are not only available in print, but they're online as well.
That's right, on the Japan Times website.
A recent article that you wrote has the headline, Tokyo's Street Fighting Men. Are Tokyo's streets as safe as the guidebooks tell us?
Well, according to a Japanese journalist, Iko Ono, and his sidekick, a photojournalist called Hajime Kiyohira, apparently not. They spent the last few days during the recent New Year's holiday walking around the streets, and they apparently witnessed a number of fights and drunken brawls and just general aggravation in the sort of nightlife areas of Tokyo. And according to them, this kind of random violence that sometimes takes place is kind of a new thing.
So how do the fights start?
It can be randomly, something like the brush of a shoulder or just looking at someone the wrong way and that kind of thing.
Traditionally in Japan, you hear about fights, it's usually gangsters on gangsters. But this is different because it's simply young, drunk people bumping into each other.
Yes, well, these two journalists offer a very interesting and kind of ironic explanation as for the reason behind this. They say it's because of the recent crackdown by police in Tokyo against the gangsters and these sort of professional sex establishments in the nightlife areas. And the crackdown has resulted in these sort of professional criminals from sort of being either going underground or just leaving the area entirely.
But wouldn't this make the streets safer?
Well, that was the original premise. But according to these two journalists, what has happened since then is that the absence of these professional criminals have left the streets open for just young kids, often university students and just mainstream middle-class kids who move in, get really drunk, and sort of become a lot more brazen than they were before. And as a result, as I said, they get drunk, you get fights and other examples of general aggravation.
So what are the police doing to combat this new wave of crime?
Well, it's sort of a very new kind of thing, and it doesn't seem like the police have actually done anything in a sort of organized way yet, but give them time and we can expect that they'll probably do something. But certain kinds of crimes are such as pickpocketing, crimes that people are, you know, attributing to young people as opposed to professional.
I notice you've got some figures here. It says Shibuya reported 901 such cases.
That's right, yeah.
And Roppongi, which is a place you might expect more crime with all the nightlife, only 83.
Well, that's right. I mean, Roppongi caters more to adults and maybe a more sophisticated clientele, whereas Shibuya has long been a sort of hangout for the sort of young adults, maybe late teens to early 20s, and that's one of the discrepancies right there.
Why is Japan becoming more dangerous? Is it just the crackdown on organized crime and now that the streets are open to youth, or is there something else?
It's pretty complex. There's a number of factors involved. I mean, this story just sort of focused on one small aspect of what's going on. I mean, there's a whole bunch of socioeconomic factors, such as the breakdown of, you know, the traditional cradle-to-grave employment system and just et cetera, et cetera.
What about Japan's internationalization? You know, the internet, kids are seeing what other kids are doing around the world, that kind of a thing?
I don't think that's a big factor because...
One case in point is graffiti. It's something, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you never saw graffiti. Now it's in most neighborhoods in Tokyo, and it's that tagging that you see in New York. So these kids, I would say, are copying what they see overseas.
Yeah, I guess to an extent that's happening. But on the other hand, I mean, things like pornography and especially mangas used to be a lot worse in the past. Those kind of regulations affecting that has actually become strengthened in the last few years. But I think there's probably other factors involved. I mean, the unemployment has gone up a lot, you know, in the last 10 years, and there's just not a lot of career-type opportunities there used to be. So a lot of kids in their, you know, late teens, early 20s, you know, don't feel the sort of sense of social responsibility maybe that they used to a few years ago.
As we mentioned in the opening, Tokyo does have a pretty good reputation for low crime considering its size. Do you think this is going to continue to decline, that the streets are going to get more dangerous? Is this going to become more like other cities around the world?
I guess to an extent. I mean, we still have to keep things in perspective and say that Tokyo still remains one of the world's safest major cities, if not the safest city. It's just that the sort of scenario on the streets at night seems to be changing a little bit. It's becoming a little bit rougher and aggravated than it used to be in the past, according to some observers.
We should mention that your report has been taken from Friday Magazine, which is a well-known tabloid, which looks at entertainment and crime here in Tokyo.
Yes, that's right. And that's the case with all the other articles in the Tokyo Confidential column, which appears every Sunday in the Japan Times.
How would you describe your job? You are interpreters of the Japanese media?
Yeah, that's right. Me and Mark Schreiber and Michael Hoffman, the other two contributors. There are three of us. Every week we compile the stories that are being reported in the Japanese weekly magazines. We choose three that we think our readers will appreciate and that cover a sort of good spectrum of what's happening in Japan. And we read through the articles and we render them into a sort of English language version of that.
Now, if people want a distilled version of this, there are now three books out. Can you tell us where we can get those?
Our last two books are called Tabloid Tokyo 1 and Tabloid Tokyo 2. They're actually available not just in Japan, but in bookstores in North America, in some places in Asia, and in Europe. Both editions are published by Kodansha International.
Now, the first one, which is not actually considered part of the trilogy, even though it is called Tokyo Confidential.
Yeah, that was published by a small independent publisher, which has since gone out of business. So obviously the book itself has become out of print. So
I have all three.
Well, I think if you were to try to obtain that one, it would be a bit of a challenge.
What are you working on for your next submission to the Japan Times?
Right now it's a crackdown on bicycle riders in Tokyo. It's a sort of a follow-up because I think about a year ago I did a similar story about how police and municipal authorities are not impressed with bicycle riders and particularly their habit of parking their bicycles wherever they want, thereby cluttering up the streets and other places. So
shouldn't the city be encouraging people to ride bicycles?
Well, I think so, but I guess it hasn't really been managed. I mean, there's a lot of gray zones as far as sort of administering how bicycles fit into the traffic situation here.
But really, bicycles are treated as garbage. They haul them away by the truckload.
Yeah. I think it's ironic. I wrote an article about 5 years ago in the Japan Times about bicycles because I point out the irony that around that time, Japan was promoting the Kyoto Protocol, whereby countries are encouraged or forced to reduce their carbon footprint or CO2 gases. And one of the most effective ways of doing that is promoting bicycle riding because it's a form of transportation that doesn't produce any pollutants. Yet at the same time, the local municipal authorities were cracking down on bicycles. So there was a talk about a mixed message.
There are some good things I've read. They say that they don't want people to wear their iPod when they're cycling or use their phone. And that seems like a no-brainer.
Yes.
And this is where we have to leave it for this week's edition of Dateline Tokyo. I'm Tom Duflay with Jeff Botting. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you, Tom.
Take care.
ご乗車ありがとうございました。まもなく新宿です。